welcome back to another Throwback Reviews podcast. My name is Sean, and with me, as always, my good buddy, Rob Flack-O'Hara. What's going on, Rob?
Man, how you doing? It hasn't been as wild as it was before the last episode.
Well, not recording time, but I figure by the time I release this, the third movie in the saga will have been out already.
Yeah, we could give some predictions. Oh, yeah. My favorite part was when Leia got married to Chewbacca.
Yeah. things are going good with me. Back to work. I'm back to running is what's the most important thing to me. So, I'm feeling pretty good. Had my hernia surgery. We talked about that last episode. But that's really about it for me, man. I don't really have too many updates. But I know you just got back from a pretty exciting vacation.
Oh man, yeah. We took a cruise. This was our third cruise, and I've been doing this thing for the last few years where I'm trying to mark off like visit every state, and so the last one was Hawaii, and I hate flying. So my wife said, "Hey, why don't we take a cruise to Hawaii?" She said this about 2 years ago because we've been paying on this cruise for turns out cruises are expensive.
But, you know, I knew that you had you had your map that you were kind of marking what the states are. I didn't know that this was it. I knew you had a lot, but then when you posted on Facebook, I was like, holy cow, man, I thought you were, you know, maybe like 30 states in or something.
Yeah, you know what, there's the only thing that I regret is before I really started documenting it, there's some that I, like Rhode Island is one. Like if you look at a map, like I went to Delaware and I went to Maine. And so I know that I drove through Rhode Island, but I don't have any, like, I didn't document anything. Like I didn't take a picture. I didn't stop. You know what I mean?
So it's like I was there. You're kind of cheating the system then in a sense. I thought you like actually like placed your feet on the ground somewhere.
Well, there's like four states that are like that are kind of iffy, you know, so I'm going to backtrack and get those. But yeah, this was the last one, Hawaii. And it was, we flew from here to LA, where I saw, The Force Awakens on, everybody says opening night, but, opening night was like four different nights.
Yeah. We're going to get into that because that that was very questionable to me.
But, then the next day in LA, we got on the cruise ship. It's 5 days to Hawaii. So it's 5 days on the ocean. And then we did 4 days there, four different islands, and then 5 days back. So, it was long. It was really good. We ate a lot. We did a lot of stuff. You know what the best thing was? I've been dying to ask you this. I haven't gotten into this with you, but, I know you like a lot of retro TV shows like I do. Were you into The Love Boat at all?
Oh yeah. Yes.
Are you?
As a matter of fact, they played on antenna TV, I think it is here, but last summer, the summer before, we were on vacation at the beach and, there was an episode on it. I wouldn't go to the beach until I finished that episode.
Well, this cruise I was on was a princess, cruise, like Princess Line cruise, which is what The Love Boat is. And so in the room, we got like 20 different channels for cable, and a lot of them were just like the internal, you know, like advertisements for stuff going on the boat, stuff like that. But one of the channels was 24/7 Love Boat. And I don't think I've ever watched Love Boat. I don't think I mean, I knew about it when I was a kid, but it wasn't like a show that I watched. Oh my God, Sean, I got hooked on The Love Boat.
Well, because it's just nonstop cameos from other actors from TV shows and movies. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is there would be episodes, and of course they're not showing them in order on the ship. It's just like a random kind of order. But there would be like, what's her name? Hot Lips, hooligan, like from MASH. Yeah. Loretta. Yeah. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I don't know who it is, but
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like, so we saw an episode where, she had got divorced from her husband, and her husband was Mike Brady, Robert Reed. So she had got divorced from him and married their marriage counselor, And then, of course, they all ended up on the cruise, you know, the same cruise together. So, you know, watching that, the very next episode, she comes on and she's like a Russian military sergeant, you know, and I was like, wasn't she just in the last episode? So people were like, kept coming on, you know, man, there was, but it was just a cameo fest, you know, I saw one with, Jimmy Walker.
Yeah.
And, I mean, just, Bill Bixby. I mean, you could just go on and on, but I went online, there were 10 seasons of The Love Boat plus, all these like movies, like TV movies or whatever. So I went on Amazon looking for like DVDs or whatever. They only released the first two seasons. And it was funny too. Yeah. On the ship, they would show an episode and then they would have like, Captain Stubing would come on for like a little 2-minute thing. And it would say like Love Boat Memories with Captain Stubing. And he would say, you know, oh, I really enjoyed this episode with Jimmy Walker or whatever, you know, was right. And then he would say, and by the way, if you like The Love Boat, be sure to check out the ship's gift shop where you can pick up season one of The Love Boat or what. And then I went to the gift shop and they didn't have it. And it said like copyright 2008 on his, little message. So I guess they're outdated, but, the actual ship in The Love Boat, I looked this up. It was an actual cruise ship. It held 650 passengers.
Hmm.
The ship we were on held 3,300 people and then 300 crew members. So,
wow.
Yeah. So I went on Wikipedia and read about the Love Boat. I'm all Love Boat. Now, let's, you know, it's screw Star Wars.
All right.
Let's just talk about the.
Yeah. You know, I don't know for sure, but I feel like. When The Love Boat was on, I feel like it was followed by Fantasy Island.
Yeah. It was like a 1-2, I think an ABC.
I don't know what, and I want to say a Friday or maybe a Sunday night. I'm not sure.
Yeah. In fact, I was looking online. It said there was even like some crossovers. Like there was an episode where someone got on The Love Boat and they said that they were talking to the people and they said they wanted to go to Fantasy Island. They dropped them off on Fantasy Island and then on the Fantasy Island, it was the same people. So they like, you know, did some stuff back and forth, but it's one of those goofy things where if you like retro kind of stuff, it's easy to get into because it's The Love Boat, you know, you just jump in, but golly, you know, like I just got into, Twin Peaks. And I watched Never every watched episode. It. There's 30 episodes. So it's not like a lifetime commitment, you know, to go in and watch them all.
Right.
Love Boat. When I looked on, I think there's 226 hour long episodes.
that's just comfort though. That's how, you know what? You know,
we should start a, we'll do a Love Boat podcast on the side.
I don't know about that. You may want to get a hold of Guy Hutchinson for that. I'm sure he would be game for it.
I bet he would.
Yeah.
I'll be like, all right, Sean, I'm on the boat. Toot, toot. Where you at?
Do you have Antenna TV?
I don't know. I don't know what that is really.
It's a channel. It's called Antenna TV and it's all old, 70s, 80s TV shows. And, January 1st, I think they started playing the old Johnny Carson Tonight shows. And I believe they play them at like 1 or 11. And then I think they replay them at 2 in the morning. Huh. And, so I gotta set my DVR. Those are, you're just seeing tons of, again, actors and, you know, Johnny singers
Carson,
and stuff.
I'd love to get all those, and I'd love to get, I think they just released a giant box set with all of them, but all the Carol Burnett. That's another one.
Yeah, you know, the Johnny Carson show, some of the Dean Martin roast. Those are shows that I've looked in, like, I guess the darker corners of the internet in the past to try and find. So maybe we'll have to dig around for the Love Boat at some point.
Well, we will go look. But speaking of the dark side,
Yeah, so I guess we should do this, huh?
You want to give a warning?
Yeah, so obviously from the title of the episode, if you haven't read that and you're just playing this in your queue, we are actually going to, even though it's not a throwback movie, it is Star Wars The Force Awakens. We're last year at Thanksgiving around that time. When the new trailer came out, Rob and I put out a kind of a impromptu review of just the trailer because we kept talking back and forth all day on Voxer, just sending messages. And that's what we decided to just kind of do a little what we thought of the trailer and our excitement and everything. So we thought, you know what, why don't we, now that we've both seen the movie, I've saw it twice, why don't we just make our next episode on The Force Awakens and Star Wars. So that being said, if you haven't seen The Force Awakens yet, we are not editing spoilers, anything like that. We're just talking full on about it. So if you haven't seen it yet, you're going to see it, or you don't want to know things about it, this is probably a good point right now to turn us off. And if you have seen it and you listen, this might be your last episode, but I'm just saying.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I definitely have some strong feelings about the about this. But so you saw this when you were in LA, and you were kind of surprised that you were actually, because when I talked to you, you thought, well, if I can see it, when I'm out there, I'll see it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to, and I'll deal with it after. But right. So, what about the opening night thing too? Yeah, I mean,
okay. So first of all, I got to tell you this story. We, like I said, when you reserve a cruise, it is like thousands of dollars, like per person. I mean, this was a lot of money. We paid on this every paycheck for like 18 months. You know, It's an investment. So my wife kept telling me, I'm so excited on this cruise because it leaves on December 18th. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then she kept saying that. And then I started saying, why does that date sound familiar? Why is December 18th? And then I was like, it dropped on me. I was like, oh my God, that's Star Wars Day, you know? And so, movies, you know, normally premiere, I guess blockbusters come out on Thursdays, or maybe all movies come out Thursday. I don't know. But December 18th was Friday, you know. So we left our cruise. Was leaving. Well, we were supposed to go board at noon on Friday. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to see it before that. So my wife went online and found this guy who we tried to buy tickets in L.A. But if you recall, this movie has set all the records for, it made $50 million in pre-sales. It broke the record for, ticket pre-sales. And of course, and not only did it break the record, it broke the internet. If you were online that day trying to buy tickets, you know, you was just like trying to refresh, you know? So my wife went on eBay and found a guy selling 4 tickets in the front row at El Capitan Theater, which is a famous theater in LA. It's right across from the Chinese Theater. I mean, it's right there, downtown Hollywood. It's owned by Disney. It's this really old, ornate theater. When you go in, when we went in, there was a stage and there was a guy playing a pipe organ, like playing Disney music and stuff before. So, I mean, it's totally, you know, old school like that. So she bought these tickets and then she bought them on eBay, and the guy just sent her these PDFs and said, oh, just print it out and that's your ticket. And when she told me that, I was like, there's no way this is going to work. Like, I'm sure this guy has sold these 10 times. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, we're screwed. And you're just going to take a printout of a piece of paper to this theater in another state, you know? But we did go, we got to see it. And it was crazy. I mean, it's downtown LA. Everybody is wearing Jedi robes. Everybody's got their light up lightsabers, you know. I saw all the movies except for Star Wars on opening day. But I really remember Return of the Jedi. I remember everybody being lined up outside the theater, and Phantom Menace, I guess, too. But people being lined up, people being in costume, cheering, excited. And that's what this was like, you know, downtown. So I went in, you know, super excited. And it was me, Susan, and the kids. It was all for us. So what about you? You said you've seen it twice. Did you see it with everybody? What'd you do?
Well, where did you saw it? It was across the street from the Chinese,
Grumman's, theater or whatever. Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that where Star Wars opened?
Yes.
Back in 77.
We walked out of the parking garage and we were standing on R2-D2 and C-3PO's feet in concrete. They're right there, you know, and we were looking at, I mean, as we were, they had routed us down the sidewalk. So we're standing on the stars, you know, the Hall of Fame. And,
right.
And each time the line moves forward a little bit, we're like, oh, there's Roy Disney. There's, you know, so-and-so. And we're looking at each one as we move down the street. But, all those famous pictures, you know, of the big opening. So it was right there. And,
that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, not what we, I'm like, I didn't go to LA because of this, you know what
right,
I mean?
Just
like
circumstances
you would
happened
that.
And
yeah, but we just happened to be there and it all worked out. So,
I was happy that you saw it cause we had talked on Voxer that morning and that's when you had told me that you were going to try, but you weren't really sure what would happen. So,
and the other thing was, our tickets were for, 11, I think, 11 p.m. showing on Thursday. So we had already just flown. So for me, that was two more time zones. So right. Oklahoma, that's 1 a.m. I have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old out, you know, at 1 a.m. waiting in line to get in. Then when we got in, they had, because it's owned by Disney, they had a whole separate room with costumes and props from the movie. They had some full-size Lego sculptures, you know, of different characters and stuff. So you saw all that, and then you went and got seated. Then they did a whole laser light show. The movie didn't start till midnight, which was 2 our time. And then this movie's, what, a little over 2 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got back to the hotel, like, 3 a.m. L.A. time, which is 5 a.m.
Right.
Yeah, so no Parent of the Year awards for us.
I think most people of our generation will give you a pass on that. Well, it sounds like the buildup to the movie was pretty awesome. So, and then you saw the movie, but for me, I like you said, I thought it was opening on Friday, and so then we had purchased tickets probably, I want to say a couple weeks in advance. Nicole had purchased tickets for not only her, myself, and my kids, but also for Jason, who's my co-host on The Average Runner, his wife and his son. We bought them a few weeks ahead of time, but we weren't going to see it till the Wednesday after that Friday. So, like, I don't know, like the 23rd or something like that. And then it was Thursday, and it was like, yeah, there's showing. We were on the computer, and it said there were showings that Thursday night. And we're like, I thought it opened tomorrow. So we were kind of confused by it. And at dinner that day, I kind of threw at my wife. I said, look, I got some Star Wars tattoos. I mean, I should really be there tonight. And she was fine with it. My daughter was fine with it. My oldest son, Ethan, was fine with it. But Gabriel, my youngest, he kind of got a little upset by that.
Oh, yeah.
And
get left out.
Yeah, he's like, that's not fair that you get to, because I was going to go by myself. He's like, it's not fair that you get to go by yourself. And I said, okay, I won't go. So the next morning is when I was on Facebook and I seen everybody. And everybody was, I got to say, most people that I encountered on any social media were really cool, not giving any spoilers. And I think you were one of them that I saw that had said, not going to give spoilers, saw it. Like great movie or awesome or something. And I told Nicole and we just put the kids on the bus and she said, you want to go see it? So we ended up going, on Friday during the day while the kids are at school. We didn't tell them we saw it because they would be upset.
Hopefully they don't listen to the show.
Well, they know now. We told them because, well, because when we went that following Wednesday, which was like you, it was at 10:30. So we didn't get home till like 1. Gabriel, my youngest son, he's 7. He had to go to the bathroom, and it was when Kylo Ren and Han Solo were on that bridge, and I'm like, hold on, buddy. Oh, you know, hold, yeah. Just wait.
Yeah.
Can you hold it for a second? Because I wanted him to
sure.
You know, saw see that part. So so yeah, I ended up seeing it twice.
I have never actively avoided spoilers harder than I did with this movie. And I'll tell you, when Phantom Menace came out, things were, you know, that was 99. So I'd been on the internet. A lot of us have been on the internet for a few years. And things were starting to leak about the Phantom Menace. You know, this is going on, this is going on. And then I remember about a week before the Phantom Menace came out, the soundtrack was released. And I was like, oh, that's cool. So I went and got the soundtrack, and I was looking through the track listings, and down near the end, one of the last ones is called Qui-Gon's Funeral March.
Yeah.
And I was like, or Qui-Gon's Funeral, something like that, you know, and I was like, I don't even think I knew how to say Qui-Gon. I was like, what's a Qui-Gon or whatever?
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
What we used to say. Yeah, we used to say Qui-Gon, yeah. Qui-Gon Jinjin or something. We couldn't remember it.
But then when we went into the movie and when it got to that end, you know, and I was like, oh my God, you know what I mean? So it had like I knew what was coming, and I just, you know, there's so many people on the internet now that will actively try to spoil things. And even when people are like, you know, like I did at the beginning of the show when I was talking about Luke and Chewbacca or Leia and Chewbacca getting, you know, married or whatever. I just like, I wanted to go. I wanted that experience that I had when I was a kid. I wanted to go in, not know anything. I figured that the trailers were fair game, but that was it, you know?
Right.
Because I mean, that's public, you know, but man, I saw all these. It's been hard. You know, it's been weeks of, I saw all these theories, you know, we saw these images of a bad guy, Kylo Ren, that kind of looks like Darth Vader, but Luke wasn't really prominent in the trailers. And so all these people started saying, you know, is Luke Kylo Ren? Has he turned into the, you know, all these different theories. You know, we saw Rey, we could talk, in a minute, we'll kind of go into the basics of the story, but we're kind of assuming if you've got to this point, you've either seen the movie or don't care. But you know, there's scenes in the trailer of Rey crying and it looks like she's over somebody who's died. And then you're like, well, we haven't seen Luke. Did Luke die? Is she crying? You know, I saw, and you get on the internet, like I saw this website and these people have like taken that picture and blown it up to a million pixels. And they're like, we're pretty sure that's Wookiee hair. You know, so you think, you know, if you, we change the brightness of this picture, you know, it's like, or like on CSI, you know, they're like magnify.
Yeah. You know, I pretty much stayed away from all that stuff too. I mean, I stayed away from spoilers when people would say, you know, like if work or whatever, like, oh yeah, you know, I heard, I'm like, I don't want to even know what you heard. I mean, it's probably not true, but I don't even want it in my head going into this. You know, I didn't want anything tainted. Really, the only, and I listened to, and I give them a lot of credit, Rebel Force Radio, which is probably the biggest and most popular and most well-produced podcast for Star Wars. Mm-hmm. That's out there. You know, they really didn't give any spoiler kind of stuff either. And anytime they said that, you know, they may talk about something that could be not necessarily spoiler, but you know, I would just kind of skip through it because I really was, I mean, the both of us, you know, really excited about this. I think Finn, his character, there was the thought that, you know, he's in a stormtrooper outfit. He either defected or he kind of like a Han and Luke situation with a TK421, weren't you at your post situation?
Right.
Something like that. And like you said, is Kylo Ren, is that, you know, Luke Skywalker? Did he turn evil? Which I was like, I was very happy that that's not the case.
Sure.
But let me ask you, I mean, the fact that when we did our trailer episode, we were both really jazzed about this movie. We really pumped up. I know for me, the weeks leading up as the trailer would come on, the first time I watched the last trailer, I got like goosebumps, chills, just like, oh my God, so excited. I'm assuming you were the same way. And if so, first impressions going into the film.
Well, I'll tell you, when we saw that first trailer, I was excited as if we had just seen the movie. You know what I mean? Like 10 out of 10. You know what I mean? I was pumped. And then they had the second trailer. And I was like, oh my God, like we get to see even more stuff, you know, and there were more rumors. They were like, oh, look at that X-Wing fighter, but I think it's black. Are there black X-Wings? Why is this, you know? So I was pumped. And then there was the online trailer. And I was like, okay, it's still pretty exciting, but I feel like I'm seeing too much of the movie now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you start going to Walmart, and all of a sudden, the toy aisle, there's an entire Star Wars aisle. I mean, it loaded end to end, you know? And then I'm sitting in my living room one day and I hear doo, 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 and I'm like, oh my God, Star Wars. And I look and it's a Ford TV commercial. And they're like, you know, if you enjoy the Force, you will like the new Ford Explorer or whatever. I'm like, really, right, guy? Like, it was just like
everywhere again.
Yeah, right. It just, you know, and you forget what it's like with a Star Wars movie where it's just on everything. But it was almost too much. You know what I mean? Like I was excited in the beginning, but it was almost overkill. You know, like, I almost felt like, you know, when you're a kid and, like, you would find a band and nobody else knew about it. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is, like, my band, you know, and your friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, I remember when I was, you know, in middle school, and this guy was like, hey, man, you got to hear this band, Metallica. And I was like, all right, we listen to Metallica. And then, you know, when I was in high school and they released a Black album and it was Inner Sandman, and all of a sudden there was like all these preppy guys that would never talk to us. They're like, yeah, man, we listen to Metallica. And I'm like, oh man, it's like you're ruining it, you know? And obviously, it's silly to say that Star Wars is, you know, for the minority or for the nerds or whatever. Star Wars is everywhere. You know what I mean? But it just kind of seemed like, you know,
I understand what you're saying.
You've got Star Wars tattoos. So it's not like you just decided you like Star Wars last week. You know what I mean? I have a Star Wars room in my house. So it's like we're the people that were keeping the flame, so to speak, like all this time. And then to see it, not the people enjoying it. I don't care if people, and I want people to enjoy it, but to see Ford, or to see, you know, they're like, oh, Star Wars, use the Force now, and you can get, you know, Campbell's soup with C-3PO. Like that kind of stuff. It's like they're using our memories, you know what I mean? I don't know. So I got a little burned out beforehand. When we went into that theater, and that guy was playing a pipe organ, and he was playing Star Wars stuff. And then at that theater, they had a laser light show. And I posted a YouTube video of it on my Facebook, but I can post it on the throwback. But there were like lightsabers that came up out of the theater, like out of the stage, and were going, and there were lasers going off. And I was that 10-year-old kid all over. I was like, bring it on. Like, I am 10 out of 10. When we were in that theater, I mean, when it started, I could not have been more excited about anything in my life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got to tell you, you know, same thing when the crawler came up, and it was weird not hearing the 20th Century Fox.
Oh yeah. The drum,
the fanfare.
Yeah.
But I was happy that the first thing we saw after like 15,000, you know, movie trailers before it started was the, you know, the green glittery Lucas film sign, and not some, you know, weird Disney type intro. They knew better to do that. They, yes. I give Disney a lot of credit for not throwing in some kind of weird Disney
Tinkerbell
intro.
Come out. Ba-ding.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like a, like I could see like, you know, like an X-Wing flying around the castle or something like that. Like, I'm glad they didn't do that. That was,
leave it classic. I thought,
You know,
And that opening crawl, you know, Star Wars, the original trilogy, when I say the original, of course, I'm talking 4, 5, 6, the old ones, were action movies. You know what I mean? There was fighting, there was this and that, and the crawl, you know, would come out and it would set up, you know, hey, the rebels are on Hoth and the Empire's looking for them, whatever. And then in the prequels, when that first one, the one I remember where it was like, there's a trade federation, there's a blockade in the Senate, and I was like, this is like a dang history lesson. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all that. And so this one comes out, and it's like, Luke is missing, and, you know, blah, 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 and these guys are you know, there's the First Order, and I was like, Nat, we're getting to business. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting back to an action movie, not a history lesson about Trade Federation, all this crap. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want no learning in my Star Wars.
Yeah.
I want some action, you know? So I thought we were off to a good start right there.
Yeah. And I got, you know, chills twice during this movie. That was the first time. And the second time I got chills was when we saw Luke turn around. I just thought that scene was perfect. The amount that he was in this film was perfect. There's like in between those two that I have, issues
it?
With. No, you know, and it's, I mean, I guess we just kind of get into it, you know? But I mean, honestly, my first impressions, again, didn't watch, look at spoilers, didn't read reviews, nothing other than seeing a couple people, yourself included, saying it's awesome or wow or whatever. But as I'm watching it, and now it's going to sound like, oh, like all these other critics, or not all of them, a lot of people are raving about the movie, but it really was just, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, I'm so disappointed. Like, visually with this movie, JJ nailed it.
Yeah. So awesome. Let's talk about the visuals for a second. This week I have gone back and watched episodes 1, 2, and 3 again. Just because, you know, I could go through 4, 5, and 6. I mean, if I throw on, you know, Empire, Return of the Jedi, I know every line, I know every beat, you know what I mean? Every sound effect. But I haven't watched the prequels, and I don't know that I've watched Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith maybe more than a couple of times. Like, they're not go-to movies for me, you know? So I wanted to go back and watch those, and particularly Attack of the Clones, Episode 2, and Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3. I watched those over the last few days. And they're like watching a PlayStation game. I mean, those effects, I know people complained about the CGI at the time, but number one, the CGI has not held up well. I mean, I was watching it. I watched it on on my monitor, and then the other one on my TV. And it's literally like a PlayStation, like cutscenes that you would see now on the PlayStation. It's just not good graphics. And especially when they tried to do like the Clone Troopers, when they're completely CG people, you know, they just don't look like real people. They look like video game people. So in this movie, right off the bat, when we have that invasion, the troopers are coming in, and it looks like they drug all that shit out to a sandy planet and set all that stuff up and set off explosions and, you know, set stuff on fire. And I was like, thank you.
There were sets in this film. There was sets where if you watch, like you said, the prequels, it's just all CGI sets. It's all green screen, and it really takes you out of those movies. I mean, you know, let me just say two things. I mean, one, I didn't hate the movie, mm-hmm. you know, so I'm not, and I'm not one of those, like, you know, quote, prequel haters either. I mean, we grew up with the original trilogy. That's our Star Wars.
Right, right.
Everything else, I said this, if you go back and listen to our, you know, Force Awakens trailer episode, like, anything else is bonus. So if it's good, awesome. If it's great, great. If it sucks, so be it. It's just bonus Star Wars, you know? But yeah, JJ definitely nailed it with the sets and, you know, the puppetry and real physical stuff. I mean, that X-Wing looked like that. It was an X-Wing thrown together. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, it was yep. built like that. I have absolutely nothing bad to say about this move visually and effects wise. I know a lot of people, you know, leading up the past year or so, you know, like, oh, you know, JJ and lens flares and stuff like that. Like, again, nothing in this film visually was disappointing to me.
No, even, you know, they're probably the most, I know in the trailers, the most shocking thing that everybody talked about was Kylo Ren's lightsaber. Because remember, it had the little visual thing, but that wasn't even a big part of the movie, you know, like it was a big part of the trailer. Right.
They made it a bigger part of the trailer. And again, I think if you go back and listen to that, I think that was the thing I had said that I didn't care for either was that little, you know, side sabers that came out.
Yeah. Well, they don't make a lot of logical sense, you know?
Right. So that being said, the overall story of this, it's and I know people have heard this now, but it's just too New Hope-ish for me.
The really word is derivative. That's the word that everybody online is using. It's not a remake per se, but if you go to A New Hope and you go through all the major plot points, they're all in this movie too. I mean, you have, you know, Rey is essentially Luke. You know, she's the scavenger who lives on the desert planet, who has no, you know, dreams of going anywhere, no anything. And I mean, down to, it was almost, I was almost laughing when we were watching it, you know, and I agree with you, partially on this. But you know, we have, Poe, that's his name. Yeah. Poe, what's his name? Dameron,
yeah.
Who puts secret plans in a droid, who ships the droid off, and the droid goes down to the desert planet and finds, this person and, you know, gets them involved. I mean, I was like, this is starting to sound familiar, you know?
Yeah. And you know, I liked the characters. I liked their story. I know this, it's going to come off. I'm going to sound wishy-washy and it's because I was so excited for this. And to be honest, just so let down by the story. But there are parts that I liked and I liked the characters and that beginning of the film, that didn't really bother me as much. I mean, I guess I do go back to it now because so much more played off after that, that mm-hmm. seems so resembling of A New Hope,
right.
That, you know, we have the, what in A New Hope, the Tantive IV or whatever that Leia's on, that mm-hmm. the stormtroopers come barging in. We have the same sort of starting off of an invasion type thing. And, you know, Poe Dameron wasn't wearing a white dress with hair buns, but it's the same idea, you know. But at that point, I was so like, oh my God, these troopers are awesome. And it's
yeah,
just,
yeah.
I was like, okay. But then it just seemed, you know, there's too many other things.
So I want to say this. I think what you're feeling, and a lot of fans, me included, are feeling the same thing is, number one, you go into this movie not expecting, maybe hoping, wishing or whatever, but it's a 10 out of 10. Like I would rate this movie 10 out of 10 before I saw it. You know what I mean? Like I just knew I was going to love it. I did the same thing with Phantom Menace. And I was a defender of those movies for a long, it took me a long time, you know, and that's, I think where we're at is, you know, there's the first thing where you love it because it's Star Wars and we have all these emotional things and memories because that's who we are. Now we're that generation. Then I think the next phase is you go back and you're more analytical. You know what I mean? Then you kind of go back and you start picking it apart. You're like, you know, at the time, when Rey and Finn, as they move forward, these two characters, they come together. Obviously, Finn is the guy that we see. He's a defecting stormtrooper, and he meets up with Rey. They go to, steal a ship, which explodes. So they go to another ship, which just so happens to be the Millennium Falcon. And then they take off, and they just so happen to run into Han and Chewbacca, former owners of the Millennium Falcon. And, so in the movie theater, and by the way, I don't know how your theater was. This was L.A. This was the opening time, or the opening, show. And every time a new character came on, people applauded. I mean, so there was cheering,
Rob, there was, I'm not even kidding you. This is opening day, during the day, granted, but other than Nicole and I, there was probably 12 people in the theater. I could not believe it.
Wow. Every other theater is sold out, but everybody should have went to
And it was in 3D. That's the only, we couldn't get into the normal theater. So that being said, the normal showing. So this was 3D, which I wasn't exactly happy about, but I'll be honest. I thought there was more visual effects in the trailers leading up to Star Wars, which were cool, but scared me because I was afraid that the 3D would take me out of the movie. I would pay attention to too many things floating around. And I'll say that. Didn't matter at all.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So
hold that thought.
You go ahead. I'll talk about Star Wars while you're gone.
I'll be right back.
So, I know Sean doesn't think that he loves Star Wars, but he's going to come around by the end of the show. We're going to get him back over. And, I think, it started off when he was a child and he pulled all those heads off of Star Wars figures. I don't know if you know this, ladies and gentlemen, but Sean was a deranged young man who got enjoyment from popping the heads off of Star Wars action figures, where I, on the other hand, treated them with the love and respect that they deserved. I dusted them every day, took them, tucked them into bed, and kissed them goodnight, each one. And, so I think it's not that he didn't like the films. I think it's that he feels guilt for the way that he has treated, those wonderful toys from, Kenner Incorporated. So when he sees, the new Star Wars film and he says that he doesn't like it, what he's really not liking is himself. He feels that angst inside from, tearing up those toys when he was a child. That's what he's feeling. So, oh, hey, you're back.
So we left off. I said there was about 12 people and it was a 3D showing.
Yeah. So the, theater, like I said, that I was in, people were cheering, every time that somebody, like when Han Solo showed up, everybody applauded, so it was a real kind of fun environment like that. So at that time, I was totally into it. I'm like, oh my God, it's Han and Chewbacca, And of course we'd seen that moment in the trailer when they got back on the Millennium Falcon. We didn't know how that had happened. But we see it in the movie, and I'm glad that was in the trailer because people were cheering so loud that I couldn't even hear that line. But it's not till afterwards you come home, the adrenaline's out, the kids go to bed and you're laying there and you're like, what are the odds? Like, I have, this is no BS. I have lost my sunglasses in this house for weeks at a time. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're in this house and you can't find them. What are the odds you would run into a ship that you owned 20 years ago somewhere else in the galaxy? Like, that doesn't, that seems like a pretty big coincidence. And there are a lot of coincidences.
Yes. And I know that he says that that, you know, him and Chewie had been looking for it. But they just happened to forget to look at Jakku, you know?
And he even says, like, oh, he knows the guy that had it, right?
And yeah, yes. Well, it's kind of like a Kevin Bacon thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, there's seven separations or whatever. But yes, and, you know, he does know. You know, I honestly feel like that they shouldn't have been in this movie. I would have been perfectly fine with them not in this movie. And the Falcon. I think that overall, and this is my theory, that I think JJ did a lot of things to try and recapture you and I and the rest of our like generation that grew up with these films, recapture us, because the prequels, let's face it, they kind of sucked, you know, trying to bring us back in, that he had so many kind of throwbacky kind of things back to the original trilogy to you know what I'm saying? To
try absolutely
grab you. And I think for me personally, this is me personally, I think that ruined the film for me. I don't need that. You don't have to. Look, the prequels, we all know, most people agree the prequels weren't really that great. I mean, some people will be like, oh, no, they're great. Whatever, your opinion. But you already had me with what JJ's done in the past and with his other works. You didn't have to do that. I thought that the story, the way the story was told. Now I was fine with Rey's story, that she's force sensitive. I'm fine with Kylo Ren being someone that was originally on the light side of the force and went dark. Okay, I get that you need that light and dark, the good and evil conflict. But the things that were done in this movie to tell that story, I thought were just like weak. I really did. Like I said, I think that Han and Chewie could have been out of this movie, and there was times where throwbacks could have been made. Example, like you said, when Finn and Rey are running away and they're going after a ship, and Finn goes, what about that one? And she says, oh, that one. I think she says, like, no, that one's a piece of junk. Right?
Right.
We're going to take that one. Now, and that's a perfect throwback to Luke Skywalker,
sure, right,
bashing on the Falcon to Han. And if to me, what would have made it awesome is if when he said that, the camera kind of panned over so you could see that it was the Falcon. There's your throwback. Awesome. Get on the other ship. Because like you said, they stumble upon Han and Chewie, and I just didn't like it.
So this is my theory. I think that this was, I think there were so many throwbacks because this was a reboot. Now, it's not a reboot like, you know, what we've seen with the superhero movies. Like, you know, oh, here's a Hulk movie where they tell his backstory and then they reboot it with a new character and they tell the same story, or Spider-Man or Superman, you know, all those things. but I think it's a reboot of the franchise, you know. It's a different type of movie than the prequels were. So I think this had to be this kind of film. I think it had to split the old and the new. And I get you. I mean, there are people like you and I that would go see it no matter, you know, what it was. But, you know, it had to go back. I don't think the next one is going to be so tied to Empire Strikes Back. You know what I mean? I hope.
I gotta tell you, Rob, if the next film, if I hear I thought they smell bad on the outside, If you have kids in the room, plug your ears, but I'm fucking done with this if I hear that.
I don't think it will be. I think there's so many things you could say about the prequels. You know, I just touched on one of them with the special effects. And you know, the boring kind of storyline. I mean, as far as the Trade Federation, all those scenes of Anakin.
Yeah, it was very political and boring. Right. And
it's just not thematically, it's not like the first movies. You know what I mean? I mean, you may have one or two action sequences in the movie, but they're just not the same style of movie. So I think this was like a specific effort to take it back to those first type of films. Now, I think they could build from there and go on, you know, with a different story. But so it didn't bother me that it was so derivative. It does a little bit. What bothers me is, as a Star Wars fan, when I start thinking about the things that are in this movie, like when Kylo Ren, who... Let's talk about Kylo Ren for a second. First of all, Kylo Ren is the bad guy that we've seen in the trailer that looks Darth Vader-esque. And we learn pretty early on, earlier than I thought we would, which I had no idea, that his real name is Ben Solo. So he is Han Solo and Princess Leia's kid. And he is, he's got some pretty impressive Force things. He has Force things we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Like pulling, you know, stuff. This is what I thought about Kylo Ren. I thought he was the natural progression of what we saw kind of with Anakin, because as I watched the prequels this week, of course, we have Anakin as the little whiny kid, Jake Lloyd. And then we have him, you know, as kind of the moody teenager. And then we have him as the, you know, maybe early 20s or whatever. So Kylo Ren, he's a little bit older than that. He's a little bit more focused as far as the Force goes, but there's that scene where they come, the officer comes and tells him that the people got away that they've been chasing. And he just has this like hissy fit. He just tears the crap out of this computer console and everything with his lightsaber. And I was like, I like that. Like, I liked him losing his cool. Now, I don't want him to be the emo Force guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I thought it felt a little bit too much like that. Like, maybe they're trying for that teen audience.
Well, I liked it in the sense that if he would have been very confident, strong in what, which is what he feared he wasn't in his grandfather, you know. I like that difference in him, you know, that he is very powerful, but he is fighting that light and dark side. He goes and asks the, you know, his grandfather and, you know, in spirit or whatever to help him show him the power of the dark side because he's having this conflict. I like, and that's the thing, like, there's things about the film I liked. Those are the things I like. I like this story of him. I like the conflict he's having, you know.
Yeah, I wish they'd have done that more. I wish they'd have shown more. They don't show very much of his light side. You know what I mean? I mean, he's already kind of committed.
So you'd like to have seen more of his story that way than a third Death Star or a guy that looks like that looks like Porkins.
We got to say this though. So there's a weapon in this movie called the Starkiller, which right off the bat. Is a throwback. If you are a Star Wars fan, you know that originally when George Lucas wrote Luke Skywalker's original name was going to be Luke Starkiller. So, and there's been other references to Starkiller in books and things like that. So when they said there's a weapon called the Starkiller, I was like, come on, guys. You know, like, I get it. That's a throwback that I didn't think was a good payoff, you know. But when they say, oh, well, what is this new weapon? Oh, it's a big round thing. I mean, it's a planet. It's basically they like
stuck a death planet or something.
Right. They stuck a gun on a planet that sucks the power from suns and shoots the sun's power or whatever. And I thought, this is what I thought about that. First of all, and then there's a scene that I want to talk about right after that. But when they showed that, I went, are you kidding me? That was literally when I saw that. I was like, first of all, everything else aside, the Empire, as we know it, has built two Death Stars. And pilots have gone in and blown them up. Like, one person has been responsible for blowing them up. So whoever is designing Death Stars that could be blown up by one ship, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop doing that. Do something else. And then so they build, so basically they stick this giant gun on a planet, which I don't even think is as good as a Death Star, because the Death Star was a ship. You know, the Death Star, they could fly around and go blow different stuff up in the universe. This is a planet, so I don't think they could fly it around unless I missed something on that. But so you got the Star Killer, and then they have a meeting, and the meeting is exactly like the last two meetings in Star Wars and Return of the Jedi, where they go, how can we blow this up? And Han Solo even makes a joke. He's like, well, there's always a way to blow these things up.
Yeah.
And that's what I was saying in the theater. I was like, man, that part was too hokey for me. I was like,
honestly, what? Rob, at that point, I was just ready to have this thing wrap up and be
really.
Yeah.
I hate it that it lost you there, but that was almost too much for me.
Oh, I was lost before that, but that,
yeah,
I was lost before that, but that was kind of like, you know, like the straw that broke the camel's back. 'Cause I was just like, another freaking Death Star.
Yeah. That part, I did not like that. I'll say that.
But of course, you know, they had to go onto the planet, one, to rescue Rey, but also to dismantle, so that they could hit that one specific spot to blow this place up. And even Rey, I mean, okay, so Rey got there differently than Kenobi got onto the original Death Star. But you still have her, you know, sneaking around. And,
right.
And I was just like, I was just really disappointed.
It was too much.
It was way too much. And the thing is, most of the people I've talked to, my you know, family and some friends have agreed. You know, they're just like, really? You know, but I have talked to some other people that enjoyed it, and that's fine. I'm not trying to tell people not to like it, and I will watch it again. I will. But it's just, I talked to somebody, and I heard actually on another podcast where they're like, well, you know, history repeats itself. You have another, you know, we have this weapon, and then they build another weapon, and history always repeats itself. And it's like, my thought is, you know what? This ain't history. It's a freaking Star Wars movie. Have your light, have your dark, have the person that's force sensitive, doesn't know, and now they're going to come up and rise. But there's just too much crap that is so thrown in your face. Like, hey guys, remember this? Remember the cantina? Well, look, we got a place that's kind of like it.
Yeah.
So I don't need that.
Let's talk about that for a second. There's a cantina. More or less, it's run by, what was that, Maz? What's her name? I don't know.
Maz Kanata or something.
Yeah, yeah. She just looks like a prune. She's like a CGI prune with big goggles. And
she looked kind of cool, actually. I liked her little goggles.
She was kind of like a psychic almost, you know. She was kind of forcey, but not really a Jedi, you know. She had some psychic abilities. So, apparently, this cantina... I had a lot of problems with this, because first of all, when they went in, Han was like, don't look at anybody. This is the world's most dangerous place. And then they go in, and like every single person is nice to them.
The most wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Well, right off the bat, I thought, since there were so many throwbacks, I thought they were going to throw the droids out. But no, this is a nice little place. They like the droids. And then, you know, Finn is like, I want out of this. And these two guys are like, hey, you know what? We'll give you a ride because we're nice people here.
But I don't know if you noticed, the bartender did tell some people no blasters.
I missed that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, I thought everybody got free drinks. And so anyway, this Maz Kanata has, she's got this little basement, which reminded me when she, Ray goes wandering down in this basement, which I thought she was going to find Sloth from the Goonies, like chained up. And that's the first thing I thought. And she goes down and she's like, she's just wandering in the world's most dangerous cantina's basement because that's something to do.
Yeah.
She goes down there. And then there's like a treasure chest, looks like from an adventure game. And she opens it up and there's Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, which is just laying out for anybody to just go wandering around in the basement, you know. And she grabs this lightsaber and has this flashback dream thing. Now, I have read online all these things that supposedly you saw and heard.
Yeah, and
but
heard,
I
want to
ask you what you saw and heard, because I missed all. Like, I didn't hear any of the things they said.
I missed all of it. And like you, I had heard of all these things that they were showing and that clips that you would hear. But at that point, I was thinking, wow, because I was like, cantina. And then I was like, wow, this is kind of reminds me of Dagobah and Luke going into the tree.
Yes.
And
yep.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
so
kind of seeing her future.
But I was at this point. I was kind of checked out, you know. I mean, I was comparing it at that point, and that pissed me off that I just wasn't able to just sit and see a whole new story.
Yeah, yeah. Well, when that happened, and so this lightsaber, she ends up taking this lightsaber. Now, I had so many things I want to talk about, and I know that we're getting near our
we're not going to be able to cover the whole thing, but maybe 20 years.
Yeah. But it's a blue lightsaber. It's Luke's blue lightsaber. And they're like, this belonged to Luke Skywalker. Okay, I've got to go back and watch, but Luke's blue Skywalker, he dropped it when Darth Vader
blue
cut
Skywalker.
Off Skywalker. when Darth Vader cut off his hand, his lightsaber went flying, right?
Right.
Because in Return of the Jedi, he's got the green one. He made green. His new green one. So I'm guessing, like, somehow.
Well, they didn't tell you, Rob, but if you look into Wikipedia, Maz actually was a custodial worker on the second Death Star. And she was on the lower level and more of like the core level of the Death Star. So when that fell, she was sweeping up, and that's how
I don't even know
came
to
over.
Believe you. This could be so crazy that it could be. That could be the story. And then the same thing with Kylo Ren, where he's like, I need grandfather or whatever. And then we see the burn mask of Darth Vader, you know. So if you run back in Return of the Jedi, Darth Vader dies. Luke drags him back to Endor. He has the funeral pyre where he burns his father. So the most logical way that helmet got to Kylo Ren is that after the funeral pyre, Luke took his dead father's head and then took it home with him and kept it around the house or gave it. I mean, he has to at some point give his dead father's head to Leia, who then passes it on to their son. Like, you know, in Star Wars, the original Star Wars, we have the scene where Ben says, you know, your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, and he gives him a lightsaber. But apparently, you know, Han Solo says the same thing. Your father wanted you to have this at your grandfather's head. I mean, I'm just watching this like, how did these things happen? You know, so that's what bothered me. I mean, obviously, the history repeating itself was we got beat over the head with that, you know, and I'm hoping that this leads to movies that take off into the future that take it into a different way. But yeah, some of those little things, for all the little callbacks that they did, there were just some big things that made me wonder.
Yeah. And you know, I know this sounds, for me at least, that I'm completely bashing on the movie, but I mean, I can't help it. I was very, very excited for it. And again, I just thought that to try and get an audience that's already there, already stoked and excited visually from what we had seen. And that's one thing I did hear also on other podcast stuff, that, you know, JJ was using real you know, studio and real on-site and stuff like that. So I was already excited, but just the story, I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. I was very, very disappointed. But there were things that I liked that were throwback, but I thought they fit well. An AT-AT in the desert, an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah, like,
that
was cool.
That is the kind of stuff that is throwing back to, you know, our generation of viewers.
Right. But it's not hand holding.
But yeah, exactly. It's just like, hey, remember, this is what happened back during the Empire.
Right.
When it fell. These are remnants of it. Those I thought were super cool, man. Like when she's sitting there eating her rations or whatever, and
that's cool.
And next thing you know, it's like the foot of a freaking AT-AT. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So in another throwback, I'm going to talk about this and then we'll talk about the end. But there's Kylo Ren, just like Darth Vader in The Empire Strikes Back, who goes and talks to a giant holographic empire, Emperor Palpatine. Kylo Ren goes and also talks to a giant holographic mentor. At first, I didn't realize it was supposed to be a holograph. I was like, it's just a giant, you know, but then later I'm like, it's a holograph. And we learn that his name is Snoke. Right off the bat, I thought, that's a stupid name. I don't like that. It sounded too much like Snape, so I didn't like it.
I was thinking Snorks.
That would be awesome. That would be a twist.
Big and horn it was done on his by, head.
Andy, what's his name, Serkis?
Yeah.
Yeah, who has to be every CGI person in every movie.
He's Gollum, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and he's been, I mean, that's like his claim to fame now is he's just, you know, CGI guy, I guess. But when we see the Emperor and the other movies, I was like, this looks like, you know, kind of a badass old man, a guy that, you know, looks like he's old and he's got the robes and all this. This looked like somebody from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know, like I just didn't, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me.
Yeah. You know, again, it's very similar to the Emperor. And I'm willing to see where that goes, but I don't understand why we have to have that, you know, the supreme leader. Why can't it be? I mean, you got General Hux, who is, you know, power hungry, and you have Kylo Ren. I know what you mean. But for once, I'm actually trying to see where that goes and kind of giving it a little bit. But
there's a rumor. Of course, all the rumors about this movie, none of them panned out. So I don't know why I would put any stock in this one either. But there's a rumor that Snoke may be Darth Plagueis. Okay. If you remember, he was the one who in the prequels. Senator Palpatine says, you know, that he was the Darth Lord that eventually learned how to defeat death.
Right.
And then he goes, and then his Padawan or whoever, then his apprentice killed him while he slept or, you know, and he has that little wry smile. Darth, I think it's Plagueis, he says, or Plagueis, but
Darth Plagueis, there's actually a book and it's really, really good.
Oh yeah,
really good. Yeah, if you get the Darth Plagueis book, it's I forget who the author was, but if you just Google it, it's actually a really good book, and it has the kind of the inner workings of Sidious and Darth Maul and stuff. It's really, really good. But okay. So I don't know, maybe if that's if you go by the movie, him saying that in Revenge of the Sith, like his apprentice killed him, whatever. So that would be kind of weird if that's how it plays out.
Yeah. I don't know that will play out, but, you know, it would just be another throwback. So I got two things left for you. The first one is the end of the movie. So the end of the movie, what they've been leading up to, they've been chasing all this time, is to put this map together, because the map leads to Luke Skywalker. So they eventually put the map together. Rey goes to, I don't know, mountain world. Like, every world is just one terrain in Star Wars. We know that. There's always a desert world. There's an ice world. There's a jungle world. And now we go to a mountain world where Luke is hiding. I didn't really understand the logic behind all this, that Luke went into hiding, but he left a map in case people need to come get him. So whatever the logic is behind that, I might have missed that. But at the end, we have this scene where Rey shows up. We do get to see Luke, and she hands him back his lightsaber, and we have this exchange. So tell me what you thought about that.
Well, like I said in the beginning, there was two parts where I got chills, the crawl and then this part. I liked that, and I would have liked it even more if Han and Chewie weren't in this movie. And I was okay with Leia being in it, to be honest with you. I mean, I figure, you know, she was the princess. She was, you know, a huge part in the Rebel Alliance. So I could see why she would be another playing part in the Resistance. Right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, just, you know, since the First Order was coming from, you know, the fall of the Empire. So, you know, I could swallow her being in it. It's, I really just wish Han and Chewie weren't in it. So, but I think that the fact that he was only in it a little bit, that was awesome. But let's see how his role goes in the second movie.
I'll tell you why Han and Chewie were in it. I think there's two reasons. The first reason is, because I think Harrison Ford would only come back if they killed him. And I'm sure you have read, you know, the whole thing about Return of the Jedi, that, Harrison Ford didn't even want to do Return of the Jedi. That's why he was frozen, in Empire, because they didn't know if he was coming back. And then when he came back, Harrison Ford wanted Han Solo to get killed in the final run, which would have been made more sense as a story arc. You know, for Han Solo to go from this smuggler pirate who only cares about himself to the end of the trilogy where he gives his life for the rebellion. But I'm sure that would have affected toy sales too much. So George Lucas didn't want to do that. So Han Solo, you know, needed to die. And I think that's why he was in there. I think he came back to die. The other reason he's in there is because
ticket sales.
Well, yeah, that too. He's in this movie because Luke can't be in the movie. Luke can't be in the movie because Luke and Rey are so identical. You know what I mean? So yeah. I think if Luke's in the movie, all of a sudden I would be like, well, who cares about Rey? Because I just want to know about Luke. You know what I mean? So they can't have him in there. You know? So if you're going to have an old character, if you're going to have an old character, then that's the one you have to have. You're not going to have Lando running around doing anything. Who cares, you know? So right. It's got to be him.
But you got Nye Numb in there.
And Admiral Akbar. I like that.
Yeah, we got to throw them in there as well.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, you know, if Chewie and Han weren't in this movie, would that have mattered to you if they weren't in it?
You know what? I'm glad they were there. I did like seeing them, but I didn't know that I didn't think they were going to be in there that much. They were in there a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't, I don't know. I just felt like, you know what? I was surprised by how much they were in there and by how little BB-8 was in there. I mean, BB-8 was like beforehand. You know, I was like, he's the next R2. He's the cute little droid. Every kid's going to want BB-8 for Christmas, and it's going to be on everybody's underwear and all that stuff. And then I was like, he really wasn't that big of a deal in there.
Well,
he's
on my underwear right now.
I was, well, my underwear is the BB-6. It's a little smaller, but I don't know. It just felt like I'm glad, you know, that he wasn't like this little cutesy, like, man, all the crap they did in the prequels with R2, like when he kicked that robot in the crotch and sprayed the oil, whoop, 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 you know, like Three Stooges kind of stuff. And
this I mean, the whole prequels were like that with, you know, the droids making comments and
yeah, a little all smart that stuff. Allergy.
Yeah.
Hey, you hold it right there. So here's my final wrap up question for you. 2 years ago, George Lucas sold his rights to Star Wars for $4.3 billion to Disney. Now, as we all know, and we've been Star Wars fans for a long time, George Lucas has all these ideas for the sequels. We all know that Luke was going to marry Mara Jade and Han and Leia were going to get married and have twins and all these things, you know. And when Disney bought it, they said, thanks, but no thanks. We got our own ideas. We're going to take it off, you know. And George Lucas has been butthurt in the media over the past few weeks. He has given some interviews that are almost downright nasty, you know. I mean, he's like, well, they can do whatever they want, I guess. They own it. I mean, it's really kind of petty interviews for a guy that sold something for $4 billion.
Right.
Like, if I will sell anybody that's listening, if you want the rights to Throwback Network or Throwback Reviews, they are all for sale for $4.3 billion. And you do your own podcast and you change it, I don't care less. Sean and I split the money and we'll have a great time talking about, you know, all the stuff we buy with it. So I get it that it's his baby, but he's just being so negative about it. And so this is my question for you. Would this movie have been better or worse with George Lucas? Not that he would have written and directed like he did the prequels. I don't think they were going to let that happen again. But would this have been better with his input, or is it better that they just did their own thing?
God.
It's hard.
I think it would have been worse.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would have been visually as pleasing. If this movie would have been the visuals of the prequels, I'd have been done. I probably would hate this movie. But
you know
the
what
fact
I would have
that
done?
The visual, what?
I would have popped all the heads off my Star Wars figures.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been it. I'd have
maybe that's
you.
Why. Maybe that's why I did it. Maybe I'm force sensitive as a child, and I knew that at some point there would be a disturbance in the force.
You went to sleep, and you're like, Anakin, no, you had a dream.
Well, I got a question for you, and it goes back to Han and Chewie. Seeing Han die. Killed by his son.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have to say that exchange that they had was very touching, very emotional, you know, really drew me in. But just the fact of him dying in this movie, how did you feel? Like, did it, how, you know, a lot of people were upset by that. I can tell you that if it would have been in one of the originals that he died, Jedi, I would have felt horrible. But in this movie, aside from the fact that the build up to that was really good, really well done. But the fact that he died, I was like, all right, good. I don't have to see him in the next movie because he shouldn't have been in this one. You know what I mean? Like, to me, basically what I'm saying is it wasn't the same Han Solo. The character, not just because he's older, just it didn't have the same feel to me.
First of all, Harrison Ford is, let me look at this and do the math. Harrison Ford is 75 years old.
Okay. Holy crap. I was going to say 67, but damn.
Yeah. He was born in 1942. So there's, you know, in Star Wars, when they leave Mos Eisley, I think it is, and the stormtroopers are chasing him, and he runs up the ramp to the Millennium Falcon, and he's shooting behind him and all that stuff. I mean, there's no Harrison Ford running in this movie. It's a 75-year-old man, you know,
right,
moving around. And so You know, even that there's that goofy scene in the middle that I didn't even, if I were going to cut something out of this movie, that whole part where Harrison Ford gets boarded by some different people and there's like monsters on the Millennium Falcon. It's a whole action sequence that doesn't do anything for the story.
That's when I went to the bathroom on my second viewing.
Yeah, I do not blame you. I thought that's not something a 75-year-old guy could probably get out of. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to run away from something. He's not going to – he's just not agile enough. When I saw him in this movie, I thought he's an old man, which is funny because, like, Mark Hamill, who I know is a few years older, and I have read this fact online. I know a lot of people know this, but Mark Hamill is older in this movie than Alec Guinness was when they filmed Star Wars.
Get out.
Which seems, doesn't that seem amazing?
Yeah.
I mean, and Mark Hamill just looks like a guy that they slapped a gray beard on and threw a Jedi robe on him. You know what I mean? And he's actually older than Alec Guinness.
That had to just been, you know, that the 70s era style, you know, something to do with that he seemed older.
And the white hair and all that, you know. But, you know, Mark Hamill, I mean, when we see him, he looks like a wise old Luke. You know what I mean? He looks a little weathered, but he looks like what I would expect a guy who's been a hermit, you know, living by himself to look like. Carrie Fisher looks like she's lived at the Rebel Buffet for the last movie. She was on the cruise ship on the buffet with us. But you know what? Carrie Fisher's weight does not bother me at all. The fact that her face looks like she's had a dozen plastic surgeries.
Yeah.
Her face just looked weird, you know?
Yeah. But I thought, I mean, weight wise, I think she definitely did some, workouts before this film.
There was a big thing. I think she lost 30 pounds, she said, or whatever. And then she was complaining about it. And then Mark Hamill said, "Hey, they made me lose 30 pounds too." So I don't feel like they were singling her out. And I don't want to see her in a gold bikini at this point. you know, if Ray ends up in a gold bikini at some point, it'll be, well, as long as it's not CGI.
Long as it's before he says, "I thought they smelled bad on the outside," because I'm walking at that point.
But Harrison Ford to me just looked like an old man dressed up as Han Solo. I felt bad for him, you know? So
I
expected him to get it, you know? And then there's the scene where he basically, you know, Leia says, "If you see our son, try to bring him home," you know? And Harrison Ford, this is the first time where everybody's called him Kylo Ren, and he yells out, "Ben!" And he looks around, he walks out. Another thing, while we're designing Death Star number 4, along with leaving an opening that you can put one shot in and blow the stupid thing up, because we've done that 3 times, let's not build mile-long bridges that don't have any handrails. Like, who built that bridge?
They don't have OSHA in a galaxy far, far away, Rob. That's the problem.
But Han goes out and he has this speech and he's like, "Come back with me," and all this. And he's like, "I can't. I'm torn between the light and the dark." And he's like, "No, you can do it." And then it gets dark and it lit up with red. And I was like, "Oh, crap. Here it comes." Like, I knew Han was not going to make it through this film. I just had a feeling.
Yeah.
When that happened, I was like, "Oh, here it comes." And it did that. And people jumped. People behind us screamed.
I think I heard a guy next to me snoring, one of the 12 other people that were there. You know, but honestly.
And Han had this look on his face like it was surprise. But then he was like, maybe I'm reading too much into this, but, you know, he was like, I still forgive you. You know what I mean? Like, I still love you. You're my son. Or maybe he was just like, "Oh, I just got paid $20 million. And then he fell. I don't know. It took
30 years to have this happen.
He's like, "Oh, I'm not going to do Indiana Jones 5 either."
You know, I wouldn't have minded if they were in, like you said, a very small part, maybe. But the fact that they brought him back to be, you know, it just didn't work for me.
It was too much of them, I did think. And I now I wonder, like, what happens? I didn't think about this at the time, but now afterwards I'm thinking, what happens to Chewbacca? Does he stay in this universe?
Well, I mean, yeah, now, he's going to be second mate to Rey.
Well, probably. But, you know, Chewbacca had a life debt to Han.
Well, yeah, but I think that life debt is a thing that has been forgotten. It's more of a friendship at this point. Yeah. I mean, I think in the beginning, that's the backstory of it. But right.
You think he sticks around with Rey? And,
Yeah. I mean, I think he'll want vengeance, too. I mean, you know, the funny thing, too, and then I think we need to start kind of wrapping this up, but I thought it was funny that Han never shot the bowcaster.
I was just going to say that when he said that.
I was like,
been
really?
Friends for, what, 40 years? I mean, in this universe, 40, 50 years, who knows? And you know, my buddy, and I both have, handguns, and we've gone to the, or even my dad, you know, and we've gone to the range before. And then my dad's like, hey, try this one. I'm like, hey, try, you know what I mean? And we're not, I don't owe, you know, my buddy a life debt. Just, we went to the gun range one time. So I find it very, very hard to believe that Han never shot Chewbacca's, crossbow before.
Yeah. I didn't understand why the significance of pointing it out twice into the film, but,
One last thing, Kylo Ren, and his force powers. I always find it weird that different force people have different force powers, you know, but there's a scene early on in the movie where Poe is getting ready to shoot him, and he actually does fire a laser. And Kylo Ren stops the laser blast with the force. And that was, I thought that was badass. Well, that was like, wow.
Yeah. And not only did he stop it, but it it was stopped in mid flight.
Yeah. He just
held
it
the whole conversation.
Uh huh.
And he did not have to, you know, focus on it until he's, you know, told him to destroy and kill the village or whatever. And then he let it go and it blew up the little thing there. Like, yeah, that was cool. And I think that is cool because, you know, I like that about the force. Cause I think the force, it's unlike, and you know, I could be wrong, but unlike magic or whatever, or saying a spell, I view the force as, if you're force sensitive, you're channeling, you know, the force, the light and the dark, and you channel it and use it however you can, how you can personally do it. Yes. So I like that it's different that way.
Yeah. But so one of the biggest problems I had was at the end where he has the lightsaber duel with Finn, which growing up, we always thought that only Jedi or force users could use lightsabers.
Right.
I mean, it was like a big deal when Han Solo use the lightsaber to cut open the Tauntaun, you know, because we were like, whoa, he doesn't have the force. And he cut it. So everybody that we ever saw use lightsabers, you know, up until, I don't know, maybe Grievous, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, so here's a guy who's never used a lightsaber, the stormtrooper, you know, basically he says he was a janitor on the First Order or whatever.
Right.
He gets a lightsaber. And he's fighting Kylo Ren, this guy that we saw hold that laser bolt and force choke people and throw stuff around, and he's holding his own. And I know that, you know, at that point Kylo had been injured or whatever, but I don't know. It always seems like the force is always conveniently comes and goes.
You mean,
you know
the,
what I mean?
You mean the end when Rey was fighting with him?
No,
before it splits.
Right before that, Finn was fighting with him.
Well, because, see, my question with Finn and the lightsaber was when they left Maz's, you know, castle, and that stormtrooper recognizes Finn and says, you're the traitor. And he has, like, some, like, kind of, like, sparking stick.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, how the hell is this stick holding up to a lightsaber?
Yeah. Well, there's a whole prequel novella that has come out that explains that whole guy, and maybe that he might be one of a group of four stormtroopers, and it's too long to get into.
Yeah, I don't even want
on this podcast.
But you know what that sounds like? That sounds like JJ went, oh shit. Can somebody write a novel covering why that thing could hold up against
that's
a lightsaber?
That's what it sounds like to me too. Yeah.
Even though you know, we've seen, you know, Anakin and Kenobi cut open blast doors like they're nothing and stuff, and then this guy's like, whatever. Okay, so last thing. All right. We all know that we all fell in love with Boba Fett after seeing him. And he has, his part when you go back is so minute, but he's such a huge character. Do you think that Captain Phasma is the new Boba Fett for right now? Because we heard a lot about and seen a lot about Captain Phasma. We heard about Gwendolyn, who played Captain Phasma, and she's from Game of Thrones. But really, Captain Phasma, other than the beginning where she asks why his helmet isn't on, and then at the end, when they have another throwback to a trash compactor, when she has to, you know, shut down some shields or whatever, that's really about it. But I thought Phasma was going to have a way bigger part in this film than she did.
If I hadn't seen, like, in the store, Captain Phasma toys and stuff like that, I wouldn't have known that she was supposed to be a big character at all. I mean, it was so minute in this story. So maybe she's going to come, you know, back in the next stories and be a bigger type character. It seems like a waste to hire a famous actress, put them under a helmet, and then give them 2 minutes of screen time. Yeah. You know, for all as big as they built it up. So, maybe they will bring it back, but she didn't, you know, at least Boba Fett had screen time where he kind of had that cold, you know, delivery, stuff like that. I didn't particularly think Captain Phasma was all that cool.
Right. You know, and Boba Fett, I mean, that the whole thing with Boba Fett, I think that was just by chance. That's just how it worked out. You know, I mean, it's probably why we got Jango Fett and then mm-hmm. Boba Fett and the specimen for the clones, that kind of thing. I don't know. I just wonder if, like you said, she does come back, and if this was a way to try and create that kind of
mystique. Like
character.
It's a Boba Fett kind of throwback.
Yeah.
I mean, like the same type of thing. That's possible. I didn't think about that. If so, they didn't do a good job on it. They didn't give her enough to do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, we'll definitely see what happens with that.
Well, we will be talking about it here in 2 years.
Yeah.
Now, what do you know what the layout or the schedule is of the upcoming, what the next films are? Like the,
You know, I don't. I from what I heard, had heard and read prior to this was that it was, I thought it was supposed to be Force Awakens standalone film, second in the saga standalone, third in the saga standalone.
And the standalone is a Boba Fett movie, right?
Well, does anybody know that for sure? Because I heard that, and that pisses me off. I don't need a Boba Fett movie. We know Boba Fett's backstory. I don't need to know from the time, you know, he was a boy to, I don't need all that. He's a bounty hunter. Right. Just like I thought I had read that, the first standalone, which would be Rogue One, was supposed to be something to do with the plans for the original Death Star or something. But I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows. So yeah, Boba Fett movie. I don't want it. I don't want it. Here's the thing. Did you guys, when you went to the movies, you saw the trailers, did you see the trailer for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them?
No, we, because this was a Disney owned theater, there were only three trailers and it was all for Disney movies.
Okay. So most of the theaters had a trailer for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is a J.K. Rowling and Warner Brothers film.
Okay.
Based. on a book that is referenced in the Harry Potter series. So here's my thing. Now, obviously, haven't seen the movie, hasn't come out yet, but I would almost guarantee whether the movie story sucks or not, you are going to watch that movie. And there's, you know, no secret, I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, just like I am a Star Wars fan. I'm excited for that movie because the three main characters aren't in this film. Harry, Ron, and Hermione. This isn't about them. This is back in, I think, like the 30s or something. So, but it has that feel. It tells me I am in the world of Harry Potter, that magical world. And that's, yeah. And that's what I, long story short, not really, hour and 40 minutes or whatever we're in, but that's what, Rob, that's what I wanted this to be. I knew we had to have some tie-ins because it does branch off the back of Jedi and the Fall of the Empire, but I wanted a story with that didn't have to rely on the four, five, or six, if you include the droids, characters of the original trilogy, but a universe that says, hey, these guys aren't in it, but you know where we're at. This is the Star Wars universe. That's what I wanted. That's not what we got. That's why I'm disappointed. I think the characters, if the story would have been different without all the nods to the original trilogy, I would have been very happy.
I have read a theory about fiction writing that you have to be very careful when you're writing a story and you write it in the first person. Like you say, I did this, I did that, you know, it's my story. And the reason is because by default, unless you do something really wonky with the ending, by default, whoever's telling the story is going to live because they're telling the story. So they're not going to say, and then I died, you know? So by that token, any, for example, standalone Boba Fett story, we saw Boba Fett when he was 10 years old. And we saw Boba Fett, assuming that, you know, everything that we know or that we believe is true, we saw Boba Fett die by flying into the Sarlacc pit. So we know that character's beginning and we know his end. So anything in the middle is just fluff. And anything in the middle, we know how it's going to end. If they make a movie in the middle with Boba Fett, he's not going to die because we see him in Empire Strikes Back. Or if you're a special edition person, we see him in Star Wars. But so there's nowhere for that character's arc to go. I mean, we know why he became a bounty hunter. He is an unaltered clone from his father who uses the same armor that his father has. We know that character's story. So I agree with you on that. I think they'll do it because it'll sell a lot of stuff and people like Boba Fett. But I think Boba Fett is popular because he's not in the movie 45 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's that mysterious dude, and I don't know that I want to see him
And he had a really awesome costume.
Yeah. That's one of the things that I can never be for Halloween.
Boba Fett.
Like, yeah, nobody wants to see a fat Boba Fett. It's like the Boba Fett that let himself go, like your guts hanging out of the suit a little bit, you know, and you can't walk around too much because the jetpack's hurting your back. And you got snacks and all your little button things on the sleeves. It's just, people don't want to see it. Now I'm stuck. I got to be the Rancor Keeper or Porkins. That's my lot in life. Or I could be Jabba, I guess.
Okay. I'm glad you said Porkins. I referenced it earlier. Do you know the character I'm talking about? He's the actor. I don't know his name, but he was on the show Heroes, and he was the Porkins character in this. He was a bigger guy in X-Wing.
Yeah.
With a scruffy beard. Was that not a Porkins throwback or what?
It's Porkins the third.
I mean, Jesus. Anyways, we got to wrap this up. If we haven't lost everybody by now, I'm surprised, but, you know, I don't know, but, you know, email us, what, you know, give us a short little, you know, email us what you thought. You agree more on my side where you're disappointed with the way that the story was told, Or are you like most people who are super jazzed about it? I would like to know. Maybe you know, I'm in the minority. I know I am in the minority, but you know, that's just how I feel. I was really amped up about it, and I just was. I like the characters. I was just disappointed with the way the story was told. I didn't need the nods. You know, I didn't need those nods. And you know, I didn't come into it, to be honest, I didn't come into it thinking it was going to be better than the original trilogy or anything like that. Those are awesome. And to be honest, this just solidified to me how amazing those first three films in their on special editions are.
Yeah, you know, and I think, like every Star Wars movie since the first one, everybody's emotions go up when it comes out. Then we all pick it apart and we, you know, see what we like, what we didn't like, and it goes down. And then, you know, you have to wait for those emotions to level out, and then you can, you know, really look. So time will tell.
Yeah.
You know, whether it will give it a little time. And I think the way people think of this movie in the future, or what they think about it, really depends on what they do with that second movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and I think people's expectations were different as well. I mean, I talked to, you know, a couple people that liked it and said, like, this brought me back into Star Wars because the prequels suck so bad. You know, so that's good. That's good. And I guess in that sense, JJ accomplished his mission, you know, and it's not to say that I'm a bigger Star Wars fan than those people. It's not it. It's just that I already knew what to take the prequels as, you know, and I already knew that I had the original trilogy was mine as my childhood growing up. Like the prequels, okay, they pretty much sucked, but you know, I didn't need that. I wanted something new and fresh, and it just
this is my hope,
wasn't it?
We know how we feel about the original trilogy, and there are hundreds of thousands of people, millions of people that feel the same way. I mean, that grew up, that Star Wars was a foundation of their childhood. I don't think the kids that grew up on the prequels feel the same way. I don't think there are thousands of people running around with Jar Jar tattoos. You know what I'm saying? I hope there aren't. So my hope is that that this film does for this generation of kids what the originals did for us. You know, I hope it's enough of a story and enough of a trilogy that it makes an impact in it and brings people back to Star Wars.
Right. Well, you know, hopefully then if that's what was meant to be, then that's what's meant to be. And I hope that happens. It's just, this is my, you know, this was nice because whether everyone's turned this off by now or not, this was my chance to really just kind of vocalize how I felt about it without being interrupted and argued with. Because that happened the other day with somebody at work. So this, regardless, felt good. And who knows, maybe we lost some listeners. I doubt it, but
I don't think so.
But, you know, I know we seem to come off kind of harsh on stuff. It's just funny because most of the time when we're reviewing a movie that we kind of bash, it's a movie that we loved as a kid. So who knows, maybe in 20 years I'll like this, you know. It'll be the opposite for me, but,
yeah, it's like I said, time will tell, you know?
Yeah. But you know, there's really, I mean, we could probably sit here and talk another 2 hours, so we have to wrap it up. Obviously we couldn't cover everything, but I really just wanted to talk about our initial feelings of the film and overall feelings. You know, I went back to see it a second time because one, I promised my kids, but going into that second viewing had seen it, I really was hoping that, you know what, maybe because I'm not so amped up to see it, maybe it'll hit me differently, and it didn't. You know, I just kind of sat there going, man, I'm getting sleepy. So
but, at least you knew when to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. So but anyways, this was fun. This was fun. Yeah. I'll definitely watch this movie again. I will. It's just you know, it was just based on our expectations. But anyways, Rob, I don't know, man. That's all I have to say right now without going another 2 hours. What about you? Any last minute wrap ups?
No, I'm. I will tell you one thing that over the past 6 months, I have really added a lot of stuff to my Star Wars collection. You know, I started on the 6-inch figures, and I've been buying those. And then they have the 18-inch figures, and I've got 14 or 15 of those. Just I've been in Star Wars mode for the past 6 months, and watching this movie. I did like it, but I feel like for right now, for me,
you Star wasted Wars your money.
No, well, that too, right? If anybody wants to buy some stuff, my eBay account is Rob. But I feel like I'm over it right now. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I feel like it was building up to this movie.
Yeah.
I saw the movie, and it's like, okay, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't, you know, all CGI. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't terrible. So I feel like, okay, we made it over that hump. Now we just have to, you know, make it to the next one and see. So but I don't, you know, when the prequels came out, I was like, oh, right after it came out, I was like, I got to buy everything. And I don't really feel like that. Maybe it's because I'm 40 and I'm buying toys that are meant for children. But you know what I mean? Like I just feel like I feel like, okay, we made it. Like that movie was the finish line for now. We made it to that, and now I'm ready to let it go and then just wait and see what happens next.
Yeah. Well, basically, I think what really is happening is you're saving your money for the next one.
Yeah, so I'll be buying everything. So we're selling all this stuff, one or the other.
Yeah. So is this the part of the show where you go over merchandise you can find? No, I'm just kidding.
I made a list of every Star Wars thing they're currently offering.
Yeah. No, so but yeah, that's gonna wrap this one up. I don't know, man. This was it was fun. I think we're off to a good start. It's only the 7th of January. We already have an episode recorded, and this should be out by March 20th of 2016.
Well, we got a lot of Love Boat episodes to watch. Yeah, you know, it takes time.
Yeah, no. I you know, we talked about it. I think the plan is we want to try to get off one episode a month at least, and then anything over that is a bonus. You know, but definitely expect 12 episodes out of us this year, one a month, and maybe some more. So Rob, where, if people don't know by now where to find Rob O'Hara, which I pretty much assume everyone does, where could they go to find any more of your other stuff that you got going on?
Well, just head over to RobOHara.com, or my shows are all at RobOHara.com/podcasts, and all of my shows are also on Throwback Network, which is at throwbacknetwork.net. So you can go there. We've added shows. We're just added a new one about television tunes. And, you know, we added a few shows at the end of last month, and we're always looking for other stuff. So and just a huge variety of retro kind of stuff. So if you like old movies, old, you know, video games, old TV shows, we've got all kinds of stuff. So, you know, just head over to Throwback Network. We do have Throwback Networks on Facebook also, so you can just search for Throwback Network and find a feed for all the shows on there. If you want to interact with any of the people that the other podcasters, or with us, or share things, that's a good place to do that. So, yeah, come find us online. We love talking to people. What's the email address for the show, Sean?
Throwbackreviews@gmail.com.
Yeah, so you got feedback about Star Wars or this show or any of the other, you know, movies, any feedback like that, send it that way too. However you want to get a hold of us, we're always here.
Yeah, absolutely. And go check out the network. Like Rob said, we just added Tube Tunes, hosted by Mark, and his latest episode was, because of Star Wars episode here, it was a John Williams episode where it's a lot of John Williams TV work, music that he did for TV shows. And, it's really, really cool. You can hear the John Williams-ness in it. And he gives a lot of, you know, just a lot of information, very well put show, put together very well. And that's, I mean, I love that kind of stuff, whether it's a movie soundtracks or TV soundtracks, especially from the 60s, and he's doing all sorts. So really cool show. Go check that out. Another place.
And if you made any, if you made any New Year's resolutions, if you're a fat ass like me that just spent 15 days on a cruise eating at a buffet, you might want to go check out the Average Runner podcast.
Yeah, well, thanks for that plug. And I was going to say, there's another place you can hear Rob O'Hare, and that is on the intro to the Average Runner podcast. He was kind enough to give me a discount price on recording that for me. So, yeah, if you want to find my other stuff, which is this show and the Average Runner, AverageRunnerPodcast.com, you can go check that out if you're into running. It's my buddy Jason and Steven. And we get together trying to do it like this, where we do once a month, sometimes depending on the summer and more races, there'll be more shows. But something I really enjoy doing, and I enjoy talking about it. So you can check that out as well. And it's also on Throwback Network. It's a sponsor of the network.
That's right there on the side.
Yep. So you can check that out. So that's about all I have. We will get this out as soon as I can, and we will be back for another episode. So until next time, guys, thanks for listening.
May the force be with you.
If you'd like to contact the show, you can send us an email at feedback@throwbackreviews.com or leave us a message on our voicemail at 716-243-2709. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/throwbackreviewspodcast and Twitter @throwbackreview. And don't forget, we're also part of the Throwback Network. Go to throwbacknetwork.net to find more retro podcasts. That movie sucked. Ha 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 ha.